What was the biggest sale? What was the biggest like time that someone came in and just like wiped you clean? What was the biggest sale you've had?
Well, about 50K.
Now, let's get into your story, man. What were you doing before this?
So I was an engineer.
You're lying.
Yeah, I was an engineer.
So how do you go from being an engineer to learning custom tailoring? Because that's a whole different artistry. Yeah. And then to be trusted by people to make suits for them takes a whole lot of skill to get to that place.
Facts.
Cheat code is both of my parents are tailors growing up.
How do those young guys who want to dress better, what are some things they should look for when they're coming in that entry level, like I want to buy a premium suit? What should they know?
How is it constructed? Whether it's canvas or fused? What kind of fabric are they using? How you doing?
Fantastic,
thank
bro. Fantastic.
You, thank you for coming, man. I'd love to see you guys.
Can you give us a tour?
For sure. Let's go. All right. Go. So, of course, this is our off the peck section. Mm-hmm. So a little bit off the rack, things that we have ready. We don't have much of that because most of the things we do are
custom. The corduroy.
Yes. Right. So pretty much everything we do is custom. So we have some pieces here just for clients to see. Of course, they all have our lime green, which is our signature. So if you didn't know, Soarin' Custom, every single last buttonhole is lime green. Mm. That's our signature. So these are all some other products. And if you come over here, I'll show you some of our ties. So we do all of our ties out in Italy, and we have some assorted ones. We have tons in the back. We just rotate them. A few people bought some today. That's why there's some gaps. This is some nice casual zip-up jackets that we have.
Ooh, this is cold.
You know, launching.
That's cold.
This is cold, man.
This is really nice. This is actually our launch we did with
Kawhi. That's the hoodie. This is with Kawhi.
Yeah, this is the hoodie.
Should men wear hoodies for suits? Mm. But there's actually something built in.
Yeah, it's amazing.
There's something built in the suit. I'm coming closer. Mm-hmm. Here.
And of course, you know, you have buttons that you can remove the hoodie. And then it's just a regular.
So is this what Kawhi like wears? Because I see him on the bench with this kind of fit on.
Yeah. We had him in mind when we designed this. Of course, we have it in tons of different colors. Mm. It's amazing. This is probably one of my favorite. It's absolutely amazing.
This gives me like Euro, it's European, England.
You know. I mean, imagine yourself going to the airport with this and, you know.
This is a nice coffee date. After, like, the second you do dinner, do something else. Yeah. This is, let's go for a walk.
There you go.
Let's go for a walk on Lakeshore.
Yeah, absolutely. Beautiful. So this is kind of our waiting area. You know, we have somebody wait, clients wait, watch a couple of videos and things like that. Mm. You know. And this is where we are at.
Look at this.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Get the wallet. These are beautiful wallets. If you didn't know, it pops right out.
Those are the first pocket wallets, like the front pocket wallet, pardon me.
Yeah, it's amazing. Secret, made out of Holland. Great company. So we carry those here, different colors as well. It's beautiful. All right. Now we have a few accessories here and there. Of course, we have, our cufflinks. We got some bucket hats and things like that for the summer. Everyone has
the scarves,
bucket
right?
hats. Yeah, the scarves.
I like the tight clips. Yeah. The umbrella one goes kind of crazy.
Have some cool ones. All right. And then over here, of course, this is where all the magic happens. This is where we build your whole suit, selecting different fabrics, different fabric books. So, of course, we got, depending on what you want. So these are some summer fabric books. You can look through these, some really inspiring colors, if you're a colorful guy, if you want a blazer, things like that, we can build that. Mm-hmm. Plethora of options to choose from. You get to choose your buttons, your linings and things like that. We have some pretty cool linings you could choose from, different inspiration books as well that you could look through. Of course, you can, if you want, a lot of people are visual people, so they want to see, different things laid out a little bit differently. So we showcase those. Of course,
the bar.
Let's go.
So it's the shoe bar. It's the most loved area here, of course.
Men must love this.
So guys can definitely, come here, you hang out. Of course, we offer you a drink. We get to talk to you a little bit, get to know you, right? As stylists, we can't really suggest anything unless we know a little bit about you. So what do you do for work? Where are you going to be wearing a suit? Things like that. And then based on that, we make suggestions. And ultimately, it's your call and what you want. But most people trust us and, you know, they take our suggestions on what to do and they love it. Mm-hmm. So for sure, you can fix yourself a drink if you like. Okay. And of course, on the two sides, we have, you know, different shoes.
You got the shoes.
We have Carminas.
Let's talk about the shoes, man, because there are some amazing joints here. Like, look at these bright blue shoes.
Yeah, man. These are some Carlos Santos, man. Really hand patinaed. So these are all done by hand. No one shoe is the same. So it's absolutely amazing. Goodyear welted, you know, straight out of Portugal.
Out of Portugal. Let's talk about the tell me about the sneakers, man.
Yeah, so these are coming out soon. These are Soren Custom sneakers. We did the gummy soles. We did the winterized bottoms just to help you with slipping. And it's water resistant as well. So, you know, suede but water resistant. Amazing. Comes with two laces, so you could either color code it or not.
But not these?
There's a fire.
Nah, these though?
Let's go Isaac Bob right over them.
These are cold. I love the is this perforated leather right here?
Yeah,
it's nice. So it's like a two-tone leather between these two. This is hard.
And they're all hand patinaed, man.
All hand patinaed.
They're amazing.
Oh, that's you, man.
Yeah, I would love a boot like this too.
And of course, back here, you know, you try your suit on. We make sure everything fits well.
Nice.
These are the change rooms here. Of course, you can, you know, come in here and change. And
oh, I love the design, you know, man. What I mean? Look at the attention to details, man.
Yeah.
Actually, and this fabric, bro. You're not playing.
every part of this is actually by design. If you look at the floors, these are herringbone patterns, and they go from dark to light. Mm. And then in here we have houndstooth, and then in here we have Glenplaid. So all kind of unique patterns to suiting. And of course we have the suede drape. So velvet, you know, that whole feel. Everything is about a touch and a nice feel. We love it here, of course, you know.
Well, what's the address?
86 Park Lawn.
86 Park Lawn.
We're right at 86 Park Lawn. Come see us anytime, even if you're just stopping in just to grab an espresso. Come say hello.
Listen, we are definitely grabbing suits from here.
Yes. I cannot wait to be fitted by Mark. This will be my first time being fitted in life, in my 29 years of life. I cannot wait.
I can't wait neither.
Grown man ting,
Mark. Ah, man. Can't wait, man.
Yes, sir.
Thank you guys for having us.
Yeah, man. Anytime, man. Thank you guys for having me. I really appreciate everything you guys do, man. Keep up the good work.
Appreciate that.
Thank you, sir.
All right. Let's get into the pod. The more subscribers we have, the better the guests get. So please hit subscribe. Let's get back into the show. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of Hustle Over Everything. This is the podcast where you receive stories, tips, and tactics from entrepreneurs who have done it. I'm Alex.
And I'm Ono Sinde.
And today we have a special guest in the building. As you can see, the set is a little bit different. You know, we're in a menswear boutique. Go ahead.
Got the leather couches that I adore like crazy.
Yes.
Bar setup that I want in my house in the future.
Yes.
This is like a man's cave in a suit shop.
Most definitely. How you doing, bro?
I'm blessed.
Yeah?
Yeah. We ate a little bit of low. Isaac, can you get some water for me, please, by the way, bro?
There's no water.
There's no wine.
Yeah, we have some wine.
We got some wine?
Give you some wine.
Some wine. But I'm good, man. We had some Thai food that you recommended in the Etobicoke area. I'm actually out of my ends. They call me a blur babe.
Yes. Do you know what a blur babe is?
No.
They call me a blur babe. Like, I'm stuck in the Toronto downtown core. Mm-hmm. Anytime I'm leaving, it's too much of a hassle for me. I just don't want to leave the area. So me being out here, I'm like, wow, like,
okay,
I'm back in the, I don't want to call it the boonies, but it's,
yeah, this is,
we're
this
honored
is,
to have you.
This is the boonies for him.
But wow. I'm seeing some talent walk around and I'm like, ah, okay. Yeah. I'm actually considering coming back here a lot now.
It's amazing here. It's actually a very good scouting. Place to live. Actually a great place to live. I mean, the water's right down here, you know, great for walks. Summertime is beautiful out here.
Yeah.
But for ladies and gentlemen, you know, we have Mark Bruffel in the building. He is one of the top menswear suiting owners in Canada. He's suited people like Kawhi, Corey Joe. The list just goes on and on, like Cabby, you know. The list keeps going on and on of people
who's of Toronto,
the men of Toronto. Exactly. You know what I'm saying? So he's built a successful business, a multi-million-dollar business, and we're here today to go through his journey and, you know, showcase some lessons and the opportunity of having a menswear business, you know. So I'm really excited to have you on. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you. I really appreciate it.
Nice to have you, man.
What an intro.
Exactly. I'm humbled. He's the man to do it.
Honestly,
best in the business.
I'm trying to work on. You know, I might even redo it because I'm like, I need to start giving those intros, you know?
Nah, it was good.
First thing I want to ask you is, firstly, let's complete the thought of Blur Babe. So are you familiar with what a Blur Babe is now?
No, actually, like he's a soul, you're almost like not, you're too used to a certain area. You don't go outside.
Yeah, I'm too used to downtown. I mean, like downtown, you got King, you got Queen, Young, main intersections, right? So when you're shopping, let's say you live on like King and Bathurst.
Yeah.
If you go to Dufferin, if you go up to
if Eglinton, Young and Eglinton,
it's too far.
Really?
Like you can't catch me there. I'm like, that is out of my element. That's a whole different country.
Oh, Danforth?
Like, bro, there's no way you'll not even groceries. Even if it's cheaper groceries,
yeah,
I'm not making the trip.
So you're just in your circle.
And you're in a circle. So coming to Etobicoke is a whole different experience.
Wow. It's a trek.
You know, even just getting on the highway, I'm like, I'm leaving Toronto. But even in the GTA.
Leaving Toronto.
You're leaving Toronto, bro. Wow.
Yeah, man. But yo, let's talk about your journey, man. You know, you've built a multi-million-dollar business here. And you've styled like a bunch of, you know, high-value men. That sounds weird saying
high
man.
Value. You're Kevin Samuels,
you
now, bro.
You know, especially in the suede jacket. You know, like saying, like when he was back on the Joe Budden
pod, bro. That's what you're doing right now.
Yeah, look at Kevin Samuels for sure. Let's talk fashion for a minute. You know, what are some of the things you're loving right now, and some of the things you're absolutely hating in the menswear?
A lot of fakers. You know, people pretend everything is for the gram these days. Right? Mm-hmm. They're doing everything for the gram. So I hate that about it. But I love the individuality of individuals now when it comes to fashion, because there's a broad array now of, you know, of looking good. So people are doing their own things. So it's good. But, you know, there's a lot of people that, especially the brand names and, you know, like, come on, let's.
Like the Burberry print.
Yeah, let's not, it's not, you know, it's not all about a show, you know, not a showy display
exactly,
of what you got. You know, it's just, there's a lot of it. If you think about it, you see a lot of clothes, just big brand in the front.
Amiri.
To name a few.
All right. So what are you loving? What are some of the things we should be up on?
Right now, I love the fact that people can dress up but not be fully suited, right? So you could still be presentable, but doesn't necessarily mean you're in a suit and tie. Maybe it's a nice blazer. Maybe it's a, you know, a nice zip-up jacket. Perhaps it's, you know, a nice, you know, corduroy pants or, you know, jeans, but, you know, now it's not so fitted. Maybe it's, you know, like people are doing a lot more themselves because, of course, Instagram is helping to consulting different things, seeing things on TV and just taking that and adding their own touches to it. So that's good.
What do you think about when guys wear a blazer and a hoodie? Because this is heavily debated. A lot of guys think it's fashion. Other guys think it's like a fashion faux pas. A hoodie, like you wear like some nice.
It's how you do it.
It's how you do it?
It's how you do it.
Really?
So you can actually pull off a hoodie with a jacket.
Absolutely. Huh. As a matter of fact, I have something that we launched with Kawhi that it's a built-in hoodie blazer.
Really?
Right? Yeah. So it adds an element of, you know, being casual but still
looking chic.
Yeah, still smart.
Yeah.
Right? Because let's face it, not everyone's wearing a lot of suits after COVID.
Mm-hmm.
Right? People got comfortable and they got used to it. So just having that blend where you still look sharp. You could walk into a meeting and not look off, but still cash.
All right. We're going to get to Kawhi in a second. One question, though. I got to hold out for my guy Isaac in the back. Shout out, Isaac. What do you think about man purses? You know what I'm saying? Little clutches.
I think that you should leave that to the women.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. I agree.
So, no. There are, I just said that as a, you know.
It was a joke.
Let me clarify. So there are bags that are made for men. Right. Like back in the day, if you look at Europe, you know, men have bags like, you know, have handheld bags and things like that. What's been happening these days is businesses are trying to get into the unisex fashion. So they're making things that are borderline just for women, but they're saying men can use it too. And then the lines are blurred. Right. But for me, I'm, you know, there are things that are clearly, you know, men can rock. Like there's certain bags like that. There's some that are designed, you know, a little risque.
you know. Mm-hmm. But it all depends on what you're doing too. Like I've seen some like blatantly like a woman's bag and guys are wearing it.
It's not your thing.
It's not my thing.
I see that with Telfar. You know, you familiar with Telfar?
Of course.
Yeah. So Telfar bags, they're like women bags, like women's shopping
like
bags.
Like the tote bags?
Yeah, like tote bags and stuff, shopping bags. But then apparently they're unisex. And I was like surprised by that. Because I think they're great bags for women, you know, mm-hmm. but I was surprised to hear that they're also men bags. So, but let's get out of that. Let's get into Kawhi. You know? So talk to us about having Kawhi as a client. You were suiting Kawhi pre-games when he was here in Toronto. You're still working with him now. You know, what's that relationship been like? How'd that begin?
He's an amazing guy. I mean, he's an amazing guy. We actually were working with another player before. Corey Joseph,
winner ring and bring it back like I'm Corey Joe.
Yeah. So they were playing together before, so they knew each other. So when he came to the city, mm-hmm. you know, Corey had told him, you know, hey, these are my guys. So, you know, he said he was going to come see us one day. So I was here one day and the phone call rang and it was, hey, this is Kawhi.
He pulls up alone?
Crazy. Just like that. Just like, I'm coming to see you guys. It's your address, da da da. Yeah, and came through. We had a lovely conversation. It was the first time I met him, mm-hmm. and it was great. You know, he's actually, you know, a really nice guy. He's a fun guy. Mm. I think, you know, the media types are portrayed a little differently, but he's a really nice guy. Yeah, he's a claw.
So you've seen like his hands actually
huge.
He's
got big hands. So
I don't like
shaking his hands. I feel like a kid. You know, when a kid shakes your hand, it feels like there's no, yeah, I feel like that.
But even if he puts his hands on top of you, it feels like he's sunning you.
Yeah. But yeah, he's a great guy. He's a great guy, honest guy, you know. And I love that relationship. That's kind of how it started, you know. You know, he got a few things. He loved it. He told his uncle about us. You know, his uncle wanted to meet us, called, you know, scheduled a meeting. And yeah, we did a few things. And then, you know, we just started working together on different things. He's very specific in the way he dresses. He's got a unique sense of style, right? He does him. You know, he knows who he is. He's confident in who he is. He knows what he will and will not wear. And we respect that. And so, yeah, we've been working with him for a while. We decided to do a couple of collabs together. Like, you know, we did a hoodie jacket, something that we thought would be really cool for him. He loved it. We did a zip-up jacket, and, you know, a couple bombers. Things that, you know, you could wear in the tunnel. You know, appropriate stuff, not too dressy. You know, we've done some suiting things for him, too. Like, really suiting things, like, you know, satin lapels and the whole works. Like when they retired his jersey, for example, you know, we suited him up for that. That was, you know, suited
moment.
And booted, right? Huge moment. Really proud of him. He did it well. Yeah, and he's a great guy. He's a great guy. Nothing but love for him and his team.
You never imagine Kawhi's a suit guy, though.
No.
You know, like when you really think about it, right? And you look at him, he's straight hoop, straight ball. Everything he does just like about the game. And your thing is like, where does this guy even wear his suits? Like, you know, because we think Kawhi, there's no social life. Where is he going?
You don't see it.
You don't see it. He's not
quite
on the
quite recently. There's a social that's kind of highlighting the closet. So it's highlighting his fashion style. Mm-hmm. So yeah, you can look that up and follow him there. So his twin cousins who are in fashion, you know, the Grigg brothers out of New York. So they run that. And yeah, so he's got a sense of style.
Is he as quiet as he's marketed?
He's not.
He's chatty like this. Like, yeah, what's up?
Yeah, yeah. You can have a great conversation with him. I think that, you know, the media, you know how it is. The media portrays things differently. And, you know, it is what it is. And he's in a limelight, right? I always say everybody's got to know what they do and stay within, right? So if you know, you know, some players, unfortunately, and people in general, just don't know who they are, what the repercussions of things are, and they're just everywhere doing just everything. He's a very smart guy, very, very smart guy. His team, his uncle, is amazingly smart, and they know exactly what they're doing. They're very calculated in what they do, and yeah, it's lovely to see. And he's got a great heart. I mean, I can't say all the things behind closed doors, but, man, he's shown me, like, his heart is, man, he's a great guy.
He's a
good guy.
One thing that you brought up that I thought was really interesting when we were talking before was the dedication that he has.
Yeah.
You know, could you just talk about that? I think it's a really big testament to his dedication and, you know, something that we as entrepreneurs can think about. You know, speak about the focus he has.
Yeah, he's got a great focus on the game. I mean, anyone that knows him knows his IQ is off the charts, right? Like, I mean, we saw him play here. Before that, we saw him, you know, win the chip somewhere else. Mm-hmm. He's very, very smart. He knows the game. He, you know, and he works hard, right, to be where he's like, man, if you watch him play, he knows what he's doing.
He knows what he's doing. He's calculating.
He's really good.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, maybe some of the, you know, the players he's had around him or whatnot, or the team, and, you know, maybe injuries and stuff has, you know, kind of robbed him a little bit of the accomplishments he can get. But he's a great player. Like, on the court, he's, I mean, no one can doubt his talents on the court. I mean, he's a great player.
Yeah.
He works very, very hard to actually get that.
Now let's get into your story, man. What were you doing before this?
So I was an engineer.
You're lying.
Yeah, I was an engineer.
So textbook engineer, man.
Yeah, so that's what I went to school for. And yeah, after that, I was working for a couple of companies. I was, it was just not me, man. I wasn't happy working for other people. And so a buddy of mine was out in Thailand, learning from a master tailor there, my partner before. And yeah, we just came together and we you know, started this. At first it was on the road, you know, we go to offices and people's homes and stuff, measure them, you know, get all that, you know, done, bring the suit to them, try it on and take it back, get it altered and all that. So we started doing wedding shows. So one time we had a wedding show, and I mean, we shut that place down. Mm-hmm. Like, we brought, you know, we did it up nice. Everybody's loving our booth, it's packed. But one thing that everybody kept asking is, hey, where are you guys located? Hey, where are you guys located? Where are you guys located? So after the show, we looked at each other like, guys, we got to get a location, man.
Exactly.
Like, they love us, but if you don't have a location, you're not legit, you know? It's like they can't find you, right? You start thinking, well, if you go to somebody's house, they give you $2,000 for a couple of things, and then you just disappear, right? Some people had that hesitance, right? So we said, okay, instead of, you know, running around, imagine going to Scarborough for one appointment and then going to Hamilton for the next one, right?
It's not efficient.
It's not efficient.
Yeah.
Right? So why not be in one place and have them come to you? So we decided to, you know, open our first location. First, we had like a little thing at Liberty Village, and then we had one on Lakeshore here. And it was good. You know, we built it up. And then we wanted a space that we can really create, you know, that feeling of, you know, men don't really like shopping. You know, they want to come feel like they're in a man cave, discuss a few things with you, and at the end of it, they got a couple of pieces.
They somehow built, walk away with a suit.
You know what I mean?
Oh, so, my God, I got a suit.
Yeah.
So, I came home and I did some shopping.
Exactly. So, yeah, so we did that, and, you know, 10 plus years later, here we are.
So how do you go from being an engineer to learning custom tailoring? Because that's a whole different artistry. Yeah. And then to be trusted by people to make suits for them takes a whole lot of skill to get to that place.
Facts.
Cheat code is both of my parents are tailors growing up. So basically they did this my whole life. I've been around it, had a great passion for it. So yeah, that's kind of how it all started. So, and from a business standpoint, you realize that you can't make a lot of money just being the guy making. Right, like you could do an average of, if you're not a set up shop, like almost like a factory assembly line, you can't pump out that many suits and be profitable. So we decided to, you know, have our own production team do that and be very effective at it. We have digital patterns specifically to us. We love what we do. Our garments are very unique in themselves. If you study them, people that know our suits can tell from a mile away that is one of ours. It's uniquely designed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is that way you can tell suits? So a lot of people, they say, oh, I'm wearing that's a Burberry suit. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's a Armani suit. People with taste, they know what a suit looks like. Even when you see a watch from afar, oh, I know that guy is wearing an AP.
Yeah.
Even if it's just showing like this at the end, right?
Yeah.
So how do you see a suit and know that that is a specific brand from a specific company?
Sometimes it's the cut of the suit. So the cut of the suit, sometimes it's a drop. So the amount of drop it has from the shoulders to the stomach, the fit, you know, you could tell a Hugo Boss suit from a regular suit because of the way, you know, it's cut. You could tell a Tom Ford suit because the way the shoulders sometimes are, they have, you know, some of them have Neapolitan shoulders, some of, you know, so you could just tell those little characteristics of the designers. But for the most part, in the custom world, when you see, you know, a garment that we have done, like, we have a lot of angles. The angles really help you shape who you are. It can make you look like a slimmer, taller guy, mm-hmm. right? Just by angle pockets, you know, wider lapels, you know, even the surgeon cuffs on the side being on an angle versus straight. Helps you look a little less boxy. All these little, you know, intricate things over time. That's where the engineer brain comes in sometimes too. You look at certain things and people patterns, you could just tell like, this is not going to work together. Yeah. But yeah.
There's this thing where people say that suits that were made back in the day, they tend to last longer. The craftsmanship, the attention to detail. People are like, oh, you know what? This is my grandfather's suit, jacket, and I'm like the eighth generation.
Yeah.
Is there some merit to that where suits are made differently now than before?
I think so, yes. And that's kind of where we fall into because, you know, when you make something custom and from scratch based on, you know, a pattern made, right, and just really high quality product versus just the mass produced things. I give you an example. There's a reason why double breast suits are not as popular. And the reason why is it's very difficult to make an off the rack double breasted garment. It's because no one's stomach is the same. You could get certain shoulders to get, but a medium stomach is a long range, right? So to get a 42 chest and say, okay, well, the drop is this for the stomach, for a double breasted to fit just bang on is very difficult. So they came and they disappeared because people realized, oh, this can't work. So just left, right? So those are the little things that speaks to your point where if it's made, you know, for you based on these type of patterns and quality products, and they only use quality, right, back then versus now where it's all a business now, right? And that's why sometimes people think we're in a higher price point because we won't cut corners just to, right, from the thread to these little things. People, you'll be surprised, even the big brands, what they cut, right, just to, because 50 cents here makes a big difference when you're selling X amount, right?
Yeah, there's so even those little craftsmanship is key because even in technology too, there's like one quote Steve Jobs, he was saying, he's like, you know, we want to make our computers so good that you can feel the quality. You know, when you're typing on a MacBook, you can just feel it's premium. Yeah. And he was like taking advice from a carpenter. His dad used to tell him when he was younger, he's like, you know what, son, you even gotta look under the table where someone's not gonna see it, but that measurement has to be right, because even though they'll be seeing the table, they'll be touching it, even though they can't see it, they can still feel the craftsmanship. And I feel like that's the same thing with a suit. You'll feel that 1 centimeter with just the way it was just pushed just a little bit.
Yeah.
Even you didn't have to do it, but you had to do it to make it feel good and last even longer.
It's incredible. Now, I'll give you guys something. When you look at a check suit pattern, right? Look at if the lines line up. Do you know how hard it is to make the lines line up and fall within a certain size? Right. So you can make anything line up by moving it around, but it won't be the same size. Because now the guy who is 34 waist is now measuring a garment that's 35.
Yeah.
All these little things are like tricks to the trade that people do. It's an art.
It's an art form.
It's an art form.
This podcast is brought to you by Nyorai Cellars. If you didn't know, Nyorai Cellars is the only Black-owned wine company in Canada. Right now I'm holding the rosé. The 2021 rosé bottle. This drink is amazing. I mean, it's perfect for those dishes such as seafood, where you're cooking shrimp, you're having some pasta, whatever it is that you're having, grab a bottle of Nyorai Cellars, the rosé. If you're having a date night with your significant other, you know what to grab. Grab the Nyorai. Whatever it is, grab the Nyorai. I mean, you will not go wrong with this wine. It's perfect for everybody. If you've never drank wine, this is a great bottle for you. Or even if you're a wine expert, you're an aficionado and you drink everything. I mean, you cannot go in your rye. I'm telling you, this wine is really, really good. And even though I'm boosting it this hard, is because I really love drinking it and I'm someone who loves to drink wine. So whatever it is, whatever the special occasion, check on your rye. They have Sauvignon Blancs, they have Rieslings. I'm holding the Rosé right now. They have a wide variety of different collections of different wines you can choose from. Make sure to check them out. The link is going to be in the description. Check them out, order a crate for yourself, or you can send a gift to someone that you want to gift some wine to. You can't go wrong with that. So Nyorai Cellars, check them out. Link will be in the description. And now back to the show.
So, and with the art, it's a delicate balance between growing a business and maintaining the art with it, right? So as you and your partners come together and start, you know, going to bridal shows, what were some of the things you did strategically to grow the business?
We started off by saying there's two things you don't follow, right? I mean, you don't follow the money, it will come to you. And you don't chase clients, they'll come to you. Right. So for us, you build a great product, the product will speak for itself. People come for it, right? Apple doesn't consult people to put your stores in places. There's no people who go. Starbucks, the same thing, right? When you have product that's great, people will come, people will refer you. For the longest time, our business was predominantly based on referrals. We weren't even on Google till we moved here. Can you believe that? We weren't like doing no ads.
No social, no nothing.
Barely, right? So the product speaks for itself, and it's the most important thing. Unfortunately, a lot of businesses have gone away from that, right? They've turned into a marketing company. They market. There was actually a company, a watch company called Daniel Wellington.
Yes.
Yep. So I went to one show, and I was talking to one of the guys. I said, yeah, I've seen your watches everywhere on social media. He said, yeah, we're actually a social media company. Like, that's what they're considered because they advertise that much. Like, the product is just a byproduct of what they, you see what I'm saying? So every guy was posting Daniel Wellington watches all over social media. Mm-hmm. And people will see, oh, that's a nice watch, Daniel Wellington. Let me get it, Daniel Wellington. Their social was insane because that was, you know, the product is, it's just any other watch.
Yeah.
And other companies try to mimic that and it failed because they just were really good at marketing. A lot of products are like that. They market well. In our case, we let the product speak for itself, and it's done very well for us. I mean, we've had people who we suited them up for their graduation first job are now managers, you know, VPs that are still shopping here, right? They're the face in the sense that they walk to work. Everyone sees them. Nice suit. Where'd you get it? Bam. These guys.
So how do you reward those loyal customers? Because if your business is all referrals and they've referred you $40,000, $50,000, $60,000 in business, let's say, over the years, how do you take care of those people?
Programs like, so we have a gifted forward program, right? So let's say he's a client of mine. I say, hey, I appreciate your business, right? Let me gift you a shirt to gift somebody else that will appreciate this.
Interesting.
So now you don't have to pay for that gift, but you can extend that experience you enjoy so much to him. And then he will come in and get it. And when you both come in, you get a free shirt out of it too. And then both of you get the experience, right?
That's
you get a shirt out of it and he gets a taste of the experience. And I mean, I'm not saying this to be facetious, but we intentionally built a great product first, knowing that if that leads, we can convert people. Mm. Like literally, our closing rate is off the charts. Our marketing team does not even believe our closing rates. It's insane. The amount of people that walk in here, they leave for one reason. Either they can't afford it, or maybe another reason, the timing it takes me to get them the suit is too short, because you have a lot of last minute guys that walk in here. But the product and, you know, not being proud enough to make adjustments along the way has helped us greatly, because there's certain things that we've changed, you know, like certain fabrics we didn't carry, certain fabrics I refuse to sell because I just know it's not for what you need, right?
No, that's actually genius, because the cost of trying to market to someone, to the actual guy that you need to come in the store, is quite expensive. Yep. It's not a cheap thing to get a guy who has the ability to afford $1,000 suit. So spending the amount of money on a shirt and giving that to somebody, which gives them the social credit of, oh, thank you for the gift, I really appreciate it. And then having that person come in to get it tailored is genius, because on both ends, you maybe spend the cost of a shirt, which is, you know, probably under $200, but then to have somebody to come in, that'll be a client for life.
It's genius.
Yeah, yeah. That's a great move. And that's something we can all learn, whether you're in it's menswear, you know, jewelry, mm-hmm. whatever brand it is, like having a
production,
yeah. You know, having a gifted program is a smart move.
Gotta taste it, right?
Gotta taste the product.
If you believe in your product so much, let them taste it just for once, and that'll be it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. What's the it's a drug dealer term for this? Like, I won't say it. I won't ruin it.
Please don't. Hey,
what is it? Like, no one can try crack twice or something like that? No one can sample crack twice?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so something like that. I like that. You know what I'm saying? But what was the biggest sale? What was the biggest like time like someone came in and just like wiped you clean? What was the biggest sale you've had?
Well, about 50K.
50K at one point, at one time.
Like, I mean, businesses have spent more money, but like we work with like Lenovo and, you know, Salesforce and things like that. But
break that down. What's like an enterprise deal like?
So they, let's say Lenovo, for example, will incentivize their client, their sales team. Those who hit a certain milestone will come in, right, and get treated to, you know, a suiting experience. And they've done that, like, even when there was a lockdown, they were getting little kits and sending it out to people. So those are great too. And those things, for example, started by the person in charge of that program getting suited and bought into how great the product is and say, oh man, I really want to share this. So could it be slacks? Just, okay, I'm just, you know, comfortable, or to a sweater, or to, you know. So, you know, and the individual part, it was a gentleman that walked in once. Great, still a great guy right now. And literally, you guys are here? Let me try you guys out. No one can ever get, you know, pants out right for me. I try you guys out with pants, and if you can kill those pants,
challenged you,
you know, challenged us. So, all right, cool, let's go, let's do it. It's like, man, trust me, I like it this way, this way. I said, I got you. He was, you know, used to play football. So, okay, got you. Did the pants? He tried it on. He stood in a mirror for about 7 minutes, no word of a lie. He was looking for something wrong, couldn't find anything. It's like, you got my business. That was it. Yeah, so he just started picking. So he started picking a whole bunch of stuff. And I was like, okay, do we start this first? Like, he's like, no, I'm getting it all. Getting it all.
Did he drop like a metal American Express card just on the table?
No. His money was long. He actually went to the bank, got a draft, and came back.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. A draft check. And that was 50K?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. How did that feel, like making that big sale?
I was great. It was great because for me, it was like a tap on the back for, like, you know, you're doing something good. And we love individuals like that because most of your clients are not those, right? They're not the 10K or more spenders. They're, you know, one-offs, you know, this and that. Not a lot of people can afford $1,500, $1,600, $1,700 suit, right? Even if you buy it, you're maybe buying one, two a year. And even the great clients, they plateau after a while because it's a lasting garment. If you didn't change size, after 7 or 8, you're like, slow down a little bit, right? So we appreciate those.
Yeah, and that's those. One of the things too, you realize as young men, right, who want to get into suiting, like you're confined within like the Zaras or maybe the H&Ms. Because H&M, I've worn a H&M suit multiple times. One for, I think, prom back in 2012. But to come in a place like this, Mark, it's a little bit intimidating because you don't know what to ask. You don't know what you're looking for. You don't know what makes good quality into a suit, right? There's all these different things. I was telling Alex earlier, it's like, how do those young guys who want to dress better, what are some things they should look for when they're coming in that entry level, like, I want to buy a premium suit? What should they know?
How is it constructed? Whether it's canvas or fused, what kind of fabric are they using? And the little things, I mean, you come in here, the first 15 minutes, we get true education on our garments and what we do. And that really gives you a sense of, you know, what you're going to get. Part of your consultation too, we educate you. There's certain things, for example, people don't know. So when you're choosing the buttons on your garment, they should kind of coordinate a little bit to the type of shoes and leathers you have on that day. Right. So are you planning to wear brown shoes with this garment? Perhaps you go with buttons that are brown. These are things that we teach you. Right. Our lining can pull out the pocket square as a, you know, pull out the pocket as a pocket square. You know, we talk to you about that and educate you about that. So you choose the lining that you feel will go well with the suit most of the time. Of course, you use other linings. So all these little things, and we educate you. It's a shame that sometimes from the outside, you know, it'll be look intimidating and like more expensive, but we cater to people with all walks of life. We, you know, even if people come and just get the inquiry, you know, there are people that have come, okay, I'll keep this in mind for, you know, when I move up a little bit. I just need this for my first interview. I haven't even got the job yet, right? And even then, we recommend places. We have no problems. Doesn't matter what your budget is, you know, being in the game, I can help people, you know. Okay, go here. If you're in this price point, go here. Do this, get this, mix it with that. You know, you'll be straight. I mean, you got to give back and, you know.
So when it breaks down to the essentials of, like, let's say, color for a suit that every man should have in their closet, what would you say?
Navy blue.
Whether you're black, white.
Navy blue is the most versatile suit you would ever own, point blank, period.
Why is that?
It's color. See, some people will say gray, But gray sometimes can vary, and it can, you know, some people get washed out with gray. Navy blue is a banger. You could use the pants for so many occasions. You could use, you know, the blazer and jeans. You can really dress that up. People walk in here and they want that first one suit, navy blue.
You know, a lot of people would say it's gray because gray is like this monochrome. Like you can wear it multiple times. People are not going to realize you wore a gray suit. What do you think about that?
It's close second, or maybe
it's cool
third.
Second.
Yeah. But blue is better.
I like blue too.
It goes with more things. And most men wear blue shirts. Like, I don't know, like Nathan Downer on CP24, every single shirt, blue or purple, every single shirt.
I cannot think about Nathan and not think about Mike Tyson. It's like, yo, fuck you.
Oh, you're an asshole.
Yeah.
You know, piece of shit.
Yeah.
Even the combinations with blue, right? If you think about it, there's a reason presidents wear blue.
It shows trust. Tie. Yeah.
Right, color psychology is a big thing. Like, are you going to? We teach that here too. Guys in sales, are you going to sign a deal? Are you negotiating? Are you closing the deal? What tie are you wearing? What suit are you wearing? These things, they play a role. Mm. Right, you're wearing like a light color, you know, suit, no tie. You know, you look like you don't have. You walk in with a navy blue suit, red tie, presidential look. Yeah, you know, there's something to it.
Mm.
Right, so mixing that up. Pop of color here and there, and there's so much you could do with a navy blue suit that gray just can't do. Like,
well, speaking of which, did you see when Obama wore the tan suit and everyone lost their mind?
Oh my goodness.
Like, no, I missed that.
Yeah, it was a thing. It was a big thing when he wore a tan suit. Everyone was like, oh, he's being unpresidential for wearing a tan suit, but he looked drippy. Like,
it looks sick.
It looks
what
was the occasion?
Nothing. He just was giving a speech, and then he pulled up in a tan suit, and they're like, oh.
Out of the ordinary.
No president, you're not allowed to wear a tan suit as a president.
Yeah, honestly.
You know what I'm saying?
It's a uniform you get.
Yeah, it's like Donald Trump. If he doesn't wear a red tie or a pink tie, that is so off-brand. So every president has a brand, and the U.S. president brand is to always wear a navy suit or black suit.
Yeah, this airdrop
says
the team.
A lot.
But yeah. Now, getting back into the business, you know, and your journey. What's been some of the biggest challenges you've had when it comes to running a menswear business?
Biggest challenges. Mm-hmm. Wow, there's so many. I mean, who to market to is not really a huge challenge. I'll say the biggest challenge, I mean, for me right now, is the price point I'm at. Right. I would love to empower every man to be a gentleman and dress, you know, and have the right suit in your closet. But it seems like people don't have that. It's not unaffordable, but a lot of people don't see the value in it.
Mm.
Right. So when we first started, it was like educating men that to even invest in themselves was a big deal. Like, you know, in Europe, guys want to dress up. You just happen to be the medium in which they're getting the suit that they want to dress in. Here, you have to convince them to dress. I mean, look around. A woman is going to spend 2 hours getting ready for a date, and the guys are going to throw on a t-shirt and ripped jeans. Just look around everywhere. Right?
Then split the bill.
And then split the bill. I mean,
so a chick is getting ready to come all the way to see you. And then you'll split the bill.
So, I mean, those are the things. And I think, too, It's a mindset that people think dressing up well is either, you know, cultural or, you know, back in the day, men dressed up well. I mean, they used to dress up just to go to the mall, you know, go shopping. You see people walking, mowing the lawn, and they're suited up. Mm-hmm. People had, you know, very few garments, and they were well tailored, and that's what they used, right? And now this whole casual world now is all of a sudden is really watered down the look, but it's still a big difference when you see a man dressed up in a well-tailored garment. Yeah, the challenge, I guess, for me would be getting men to realize the need to dress well. You know, it's almost like a police officer has a uniform.
Mm-hmm.
You can identify him by that, right? A firefighter has a uniform. A doctor has a uniform. You can identify him by that. Gentlemen dress well. That's an identifying mark.
Yeah, I agree, man. I mean, even my mom got hard on me. Like, I mean, she was like,
"Got hard on you." Sounds crazy.
As soon as I said that, yeah. I'm just like, "Here it comes. Yeah. I deserve this." Mm-hmm. But she was like telling me, you know, wherever you're going, even if you're going downstairs to pick up the mail or going to the grocery store, don't you leave the house looking casual, right? Even if you're looking casual, still wear a nice pair of pants, jacket, whatever it is, because you just don't know who you're going to meet. And then another thing is, this is your representation of yourself. This is who people are going to remember you by. You might meet your future wife, business partner, whatever it is. So I always like think about that even when I'm going outside for a walk. One time I was going in the elevator, this girl bumps into me. One of my neighbors is like, oh, hey, Owen, like, where are you going? I'm like, oh, I'm just going for a walk. Oh, you're going for a walk? Wow, you look so dapper. I'm like, yeah, you know, just this is how I roll. And she was so surprised, because culturally, when you're going out for a walk, quote unquote, is you're supposed to look casual. Wear sweatpants. I wear as if you're going to play ball. You know when you wear like the sliders and the socks and the tube socks?
Yeah.
That's like you're picking up the male fit or whatever.
Yeah.
So I've just had this thing like where no matter where I go, like always have a haircut, right? Get a haircut every 2 weeks. Always wear a watch. Yeah. Even if I'm going out, wear a watch no matter what. Shoes clean, pants. You know, never leave the crib. If you're going out within like a 1,000-meter radius, pants is essential.
Yeah, well kept.
Yeah, what are your thoughts on that? Like, whenever you're leaving the house, always look good no matter what.
Hey guys, thank you so much for watching the show. We have some amazing merch live on our website right now. My personal favorite is the Definition Tee. You can go find it in the link below. And if you don't like that, you can explore some other products on our website.
Always look good. It's just, unfortunately, people do this. People judge us all the time. Just by glance at you, they've already judged you. We can say all the things we want to say, but it's the truth. So your appearance is the first hello before you even open your mouth. It is what it is. And I strongly, not because I'm in this line of work, but I truly believe that men should give a little bit more attention to the way they groom themselves, not just what you have on clothes, just the way your hair is kept, your beard, your, you know, like, we got to take a little bit more pride in what we look like.
We used to dress good, right? So what changed? What do you think changed where it became so casual?
Acceptance is one.
Okay.
Right? Because these guys are, when I say these guys, I'm categorizing, but those who do not dress well are accepted the way they dress. Henceforth, they keep doing it, right? If you can, you know, walk up to a lady well-dressed, right, and talk to her and she responds to you the way you look, you think is acceptable. When the society accepts you for who you are, dressed like that, right? And a lot of people probably don't say anything because they don't want to, you know, stare the pot. But there's some people I look at and like, seriously, you are a VP of what? You know?
Man, I got to get pushback.
I'll tell you this. You may not need to everyone, but it says a lot about who you are. And people will judge that. I'm not just saying me, but people in general.
All right.
Be the push guy.
Yeah,
push
for
back.
Sure,
push
for
back.
Sure. Like, I'm the guy that's definitely comfortable. Yeah, for sure, for sure. Shout out to our sponsor, Narai.
Rather than your eye, guys.
Now, I definitely think you can be judged off of your character, thank you very much, as well as what you wear. Like, I'm the type of guy, as well to being passionate about suits, I'll still throw on some sweats and go to the grocery store and still look good. You know what I'm saying? Because there's good quality sweats out there as well. You know,
I don't think we're talking
Nike
about
tech
that kind
hold
of stuff.
Hold on.
Alex is talking about Nike Tech Fleece,
$200. Nike Tech Fleece. Nah.
Lululemons.
Man.
I hate Lululemons. I'm not wearing Lululemons.
They make good golf pants, though.
They make good golf pants?
Oh, my God. Amazing. Amazing pants for golf.
Come on, no hate on Lulus. They're nice.
Lulus are nice?
They got some nice stuff. Not all of them, but, you know, they got some stuff.
I've never worn Lululemons pants. If anyone wants to buy me some Lululemon pants, feel free.
Like the track suits? Bucks. The tracks, yeah. The textured track suits?
Never.
Pretty
never
dope.
Yeah.
Right. Throw a blazer on top of that. I could walk in anywhere with that.
Mm-hmm. I don't lose my train of thought. We were talking about being in a corporate space and wearing non-corporate clothes.
Yeah.
You know, I think there's a space where you can dress how you are and be accepted for how you are. And I think that is a move forward in terms of having people be accepted for exactly who they are. Because before, there was a barrier to that and it was used to keep people out. You know, so having a way of people being accepted allows for people like us, like black men, to be in those rooms. Because before it was, if you're not wearing a suit, then you're no longer accepted or you're not able to be judged as a man. And that's kind of rooted in kind of keeping people out, you know, even if you could do the work. Because at the end of the day, what is professionalism? Professionalism is being able to do the job right. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not only looking the part. It's a part of it, don't get me wrong. But being well kept is a part of it as well. But looking the part and actually doing the job correctly is a big part of it.
Yeah. So do you think that suiting, in your conversation, you said, is suiting, do you think, is a uniform for businessmen? Professionals in general?
Do I think suiting is a uniform for businessmen? No, I don't. But I do think it looks good. You know, I think suiting can be, but it's not necessarily the end all and be all. I think.
What do you think would happen if cops start dressing casually? I'm asking you this question just to what do you think would be the structure system of cops walking?
So I think it's different for cops because their job is to protect humanity. So you need to have them identified so people can actually go to them in a time of need.
What about doctors and nurses, firefighters?
It's the same thing. But what is the actual functional use of a suit?
I think I'm going to jump in on this, right?
Go ahead.
It's more of like authority, right? For example, I have people I look up to, let's say even locally, Masai. Right? Masai is, not only is he great at his job, but he dresses well. So imagine if Masai comes into the office, he's in a negotiation and everything, and he's wearing shorts and a t-shirt. Even though you know he's good at his job, but there's a psychological edge you feel when you come in a room with someone who you're dressed better than. There's something like, wow, this guy doesn't even look prepared, doesn't even do whatever, you know, he doesn't present himself well. Immediately, I'm going to judge you. Subconsciously. Number two, when you're a businessman, there is also the psychological feeling you get when you dress well in a business setting. If you're in a Fortune 500 company and you're leading a team, let's say American Express or something like that, you're the CEO, and you're coming to suit wearing a t-shirt, a pair of pants, jeans, or whatever, it's just not good etiquette. You know, and I think...
Says who?
Society. It's the same way, like, I think we're getting here, like, each person has a uniform. Firemen have a uniform. Even businesswomen have a uniform. It's the way you present yourself in a corporate setting, and anything other than that is blasphemous, bro.
You know what I'll say about that? No, I want to be clear about this. Dressing well doesn't necessarily have to be a suit, but dressing well shows respect for the role you hold and the people around you, right? So if you're not in whatever position you are, and you know, it's okay for people now to feel, hey, accept me for who I am, right? And that is not necessarily a good thing either, right? So it's okay to not step up to the role you want, but you want them to condescend to the level at which you need acceptance at. This is the dialogue that I look at and I say to myself, well, who's in the right, who's in the wrong here? So you can step up to the level of higher points that they want you to reach, or you can force them to condescend to accept you where you are. It's a mindset. Do you get what I'm saying?
And I think,
so he talked about it.
Yeah, I think tech culture even ruined this too.
I was about to say that.
Yeah,
like CEO Zuckerberg. Apple isn't wearing suits like that.
Steve Jobs with a turtleneck?
Steve Jobs, the current CEO, the CEO of Google, isn't wearing suits like that either. Zucks isn't wearing suits like that.
What is he wearing?
He's wearing a t-shirt, but it's Brunello Cucinelli. You know what I'm saying? Brunello Cucinelli is one of the biggest menswear designers. Let's clarify that.
What shoes is he wearing?
So one thing too is that, I'm going to clarify this point, because a lot of people will have Mark Zuckerberg in memes and have his net worth next to him and be like, Mark Zuckerberg, he's wearing a t-shirt and this other rapper is wearing his jewelry, so you should never wear your net worth when he's wearing a t-shirt that costs $500. You know, that's one to get that point out. But he still wears expensive things, is the point I'm trying to make. And I do think, you know, when you're in a role of leadership, you can dress, actually, to be specific, you can dress however you want. If you want to wear a suit, can go wear a suit. If you don't want to wear a suit, you don't have to either. I think it's a man's choice to dress how he feels evokes his own personality.
I think it's a double standard, and I think men need to step up to the role of being men and gentlemen and dress well. I think it's a cop-out to want people to accept you the way you are, but you won't accept them for the way they are.
Why wouldn't I? If someone
I'm not saying you. I'm just saying, I'll give you an example.
All right, let's go.
What if women all of a sudden had this standard of men? We're showing up places. Look at a. Next time, I want you to pick 10 people, couples, going out on a date. If the women start dressing the way the men dress, will they be nearly as accepted as the men want to be accepted, just dressing anyhow?
If the woman dressed how the men dressed, would they be accepted?
Just as the men want to be accepted with the way they're dressing.
But men and women inherently dress differently, though. So like
No.
I'm talking about
for example.
Are you talking about the level of casual? Is what you're saying?
Yeah, like as casual as, so if the guy wears sweatpants and t-shirt to go on a date and she's wearing a nice dress from wherever and well put together and all that, well groomed.
That man's allowed, man. If she's fine, he's not gonna care.
A first date though?
Like if depends. Like, if she is a fine woman and she shows up to the date in jeans and a t-shirt, which most white women do. Most white women show up in jeans and a blouse. Jeans and a blouse and heels. And it's like, let's go out. Anyways, shout out to my
guess back. we can agree to disagree on this point. But I believe that men in general... I was asked this question once, okay, because I was in the States and they were talking about the issue of guys being pulled over a lot. And I was very quiet. And I remember one guy saying, well, you have no concerns. Absolutely not. I have absolutely no concern of any cop pulling me over any time of day anywhere. You know why? When they pull the window down, it doesn't matter what they thought before. They're going to have a different experience with me. From the way I look to the way I dress them, with the way I talk, they could come out looking to kill me, and that's on them. But I'm not going to do anything to escalate that. And it starts by the way I look. If I pull my window down and I'm suited up versus I pull my window down and I'm hooded up. Listen, I'm telling you the facts. It's wrong, but I'm not contributing to that. That's on them. Okay. But I'm not going to add any fuel to your fire.
So you feel like there's, for example, let's say there's racial bias. A cop has racial bias, and there is a gentleman walking down the street wearing pants, sagging.
Absolutely.
Let's say Jordans or whatever. The typical image of what you stereotype like a black man to look like according to society. And then there's the suited, well-tailored man, haircut, everything. The interactions and the perceptions are going to be viewed differently.
Absolutely. Even the first words to you and the way they address you will be different. We've gone to places with absolutely no reservations and walked to the door. Hey, we don't have reservations. Do you think we could come in here? It's a long lineup. Sure, guys, let me see what I can do. I'm black, just like the guy in the line is black, but I'm suited up and they're like, well, this guy looks presentable. I want to have him in here.
Yeah.
I'm telling you that no matter what we say, black, white, Indian, Chinese, whatever, the one thing that you can have going for yourself is look presentable at all times.
I agree. You can always control
how you look. And it's going to be, and it doesn't have to be a suit. It could be, you know, this guy's dressed well, pants pulled up, you know. That's my pet peeve. I hate that pants.
You hate sagging? Stuff.
Because you know what it is? It's not, you're from Kenya.
Yeah.
I was raised in Ghana and Liberia.
I'm Jamaican.
You're Jamaican, but you're raised here, right? The mindsets are completely different. In what country do we come from that have pants sagging that didn't copy from North America? Like, it's not a culture, right? I tell guys all the time, it's not a culture. It looks stupid, and you look like an idiot, right? You look back at photos when we were like younger, and you look at the adults and the way they presented themselves. And the reason why I say that, it's not just for the looks, it's for the mentality and the way we carry ourselves. And it starts by the way we present ourselves.
Exactly.
It's very controversial me saying this, and yeah, it won't be on the podcast. But, right? He's like,
no. So, but
you get my point. Like, it's very...
No, I think culturally, too, speaking, like, even in Kenya, any household you go into and like you're sagging. I don't even think sagging
it's not a thing.
It's a thing that's not even, you can't even think about doing that. at all, right?
Dressing to go to school.
Yeah, but there's a difference in culture doesn't mean that theirs doesn't have any legitimacy. It's been happening for decades.
Is it culture?
I think at this point, what defines culture?
So, okay.
What defines culture? It's repetition. Is what kind of defines culture.
Repetition?
Yeah.
Okay, so.
Where does waves come from? Black culture.
So, I guess, forget all that. Let me ask you this. Does it add to your appearance? If anyone can answer me and say it adds to my appearance and it makes me look better, it makes me look presentable, it makes me more acceptable, shows respect.
So here's what it is. Here's what it is. Not being presentable in your term is presentable. Because when you're sagging your pants, when you're being a part of that, it actually is communicating that you're a part of a specific group who does sag their pants and finds it stylish. I'm keeping it a buck, and I'm trying to like articulately say it so it makes sense. So it's almost like wearing Supreme, or wearing a brand. Mm-hmm. It communicates what you're into, the people you're into, the style you're into, and women receive that the same way. When you're wearing a suit, you attract a certain woman. When you're sagging pants, you're attracting a certain woman as well. You know, so it actually is communicating, even though it's not presentable to you, it is presentable to somebody. It's like a grill. Like you might look at it and be like, what the hell is that? Where the hell does that even come from? But there's girls like, yo, I love your grill.
It's just, okay. So going back to his point, right?
Mm-hmm.
We talked about the presidents having a
suit,
a presidential uniform
red tie. Exactly.
What would happen if Obama sagged his pants and dressed a certain way? Because he was black or whatever, he grew up and had influence, would he be respected? And can he justify that respect? Or can he justify dressing like that? Like, at what point does it change?
It's not suitable. It's not suitable at all. I'm not saying sagging pants is suitable for a president. I'm not saying that at all. It's like if he was to wear sneakers into the office, he would look crazy too. But if he's wearing sneakers on the ball court, he'd be acceptable. So it's actually matching the situation that he's in. If Obama was in the hood next to people and he was sagging his pants there, then he'd actually be okay. But it's not acceptable for Snoop Dogg to wear sagging pants in the White House either. You know. But if Snoop Dogg was in the hood, he would be acceptable. It's because it's the actual situation that he's in.
But I think what we're talking about here is...
I'm arguing out that. No, go ahead.
It's the standard that we have as a society. Mm-hmm. Universally, you can look at a beauty pageant. We have a standard of beauty, right? There's a standard of beauty. Like universally, you can look at a woman, you'd be like, wow, that is a beautiful woman. You can look at a lesser attractive woman, you're like, no, that is not an attractive woman. We all feel it, we all know it, we all know what is up.
Okay.
Same thing with dressing well. Universally, there's a standard etiquette of like, that is a well-dressed man. That is a well-presented man. Anywhere you go, it doesn't matter where you go, there's a standard innate biological wiring. We know what is acceptable, presentable, that is good, and that's how you're supposed to present yourself across all cultures. I think the sagging thing is more of, that is something that doesn't represent you well as a person when you're doing that. Like men in general, across every culture, African, Chinese, wherever you go, they see a man sagging, they're like, what are you doing? What is this? Even in the hood, bro, you go in the hood, there's some guys be like, I know we're in the hood, I know this is the populace do this, but there'll be some OG men who are 50, 60, who've been in the hood forever, be like, young man, pull your pants up. Back in our day, we never used to do that, right? So I think that is like where we know this standard of dressing, standard of beauty. And I think it's accepted everywhere. And sagging should never be acceptable, no matter where you're at. Even though in the place it's acceptable, there's still people who disagree that that is unacceptable. And there's people who always agree that the way you look and you're looking good, that is the way you should be dressing.
He has some experience doing this, so he can articulate himself well.
I got you. So what I'm trying to say is, I'm not saying that sagging pants is acceptable dressing. I'm saying it's unacceptable dressing, and it's unacceptable on purpose. It's a tattoo on her face.
Okay, I see what you're... Okay, you so get what it's I'm a saying? Stand they're making for themselves.
Exactly.
Okay.
I'm not saying it's acceptable. It's a... Huh?
Huh? He's a...
So that's the point I'm trying to make. It's not acceptable. It's deliberately unacceptable. And that's the point I'm trying to make.
It's almost like rebel.
It's counterculture. You know, it's the exact opposite of dressing well.
So now I guess let me ask you this.
Yes.
Let me ask you this then. Yeah. Can you blame then people for drawing, basically judging the book by its cover?
If you dress like a whore, sometimes you get treated like a whore, you know, as crude as that sounds. I think it kind of pushes society to judge you for the character and not for what you're wearing. And it pushes you because you're wearing clothes that's counterculture on purpose, just like wearing a tattoo, that it's pushing to the outskirts of society, but you should still get treated like a human being.
Absolutely.
You don't a lot of the time, mm-hmm. but you should.
Yeah.
You know, and I guess the point I was trying to make is seeing somebody with a tattoo on their face, you could judge them easily, you know, because you're going to think of certain things of them. But there's also artists that are multimillionaires that also have tattoos on their face. So that's what I mean by sagging. Yeah. I was never saying that it's acceptable.
Yeah.
I'm saying it's deliberately unacceptable.
Okay.
Yeah.
For me, I mean, my whole thing is that I'm here to empower men to be gentlemen and dress like it,
mm-hmm.
right? So I'm not no expert on how others dress. I just feel that there's even a seriousness to you. There's a respect for where you are dressing a certain way, and you know that can go a long way, even from the way people perceive you, and especially black men,
mm-hmm.
right? Like sometimes I don't want to be a sellout. When I was in school, like I heard that I don't want to be a sellout. I don't want to be a sellout. It's not a sellout by, like he said, generally acceptable worldwide
mm-hmm.
way of presenting yourself. It's part of an etiquette, like he said, to look a certain way.
I agree.
Right? And those things really takes us far, especially people taking you seriously for whatever. There are a lot of people want to do businesses now and own your own business. And you have to understand that these are the things you have to do. You know, you can't change the whole world, but you can change the way they perceive you.
Most definitely. So let's get back into your story, man. Shoot, I had a question queued up in my mind.
30-minute off track.
No, yeah, that was great. I love a good debate. You know what I'm saying? Yes. And I feel like I kind of we got to an understanding of what sagging really is.
You
know, because I feel like you guys see it, and you guys were like, why would they do that? So if anyone wants to get into menswear, you know, where would they start?
Getting to menswear, you have to understand what it is you're trying to sell.
Mm-hmm.
What it is are you trying to bring? What problem are you trying to solve? You know, I always start with the problem. When we started, men just did not dress well, and we felt that this is a medium to offer them something that will make them dress well and look good. So starting there, and of course, understanding the business you're getting into. Like I'm talking really digging deep and really understanding behaviors and patterns. And, you know, these are all things I had to learn along the way, right? Why men, you know, like, for example, the mummy syndrome, right? Like you grew up as a young boy, your mom dresses you up. Then you get a girlfriend. She starts telling you things she likes. Mm. And you start dressing like that.
Yeah.
Then you get a girlfriend. And, you know, like your wife starts, you know, yeah, you like this. You like that. I like this for you.
Yeah.
You ever go to like shopping? You see like the husband just standing to the side of the mom picking up everything.
I don't need to go there. I see it here.
Yeah. I see even here, my mom and dad too. Like my mom just there. Try this. Try that. go do this.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
a fact.
My dad's like, okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, definitely that. And the world has changed, right? It's so much easier and also harder in the same time with social media, you know, ChatGPT and AIs in general. You know, even finding information, you know, back in our parents' days and even our days when going to libraries and stuff, the tail end of school, they still had libraries and stuff, and then reading books and stuff till now where everything is so accessible, and even getting insights on exact people you're trying to target, right? All these really study it. And the fact that you want to do it doesn't mean you do it, because numbers don't lie.
Mm.
My marketing guy says that all the time. You do A/B testing and numbers don't lie. If you want to make a decision, test it. See what will work.
All right. For the entrepreneurs that are working in their silos, what inspiring words do you have to leave for them?
There's a lot of money to be made, and sometimes money is associated with success. Build a great product. You know, for me, it's worked, right? Building a great product And you could always walk away knowing you don't have to look over your shoulder. You didn't make a quick buck. You don't swindle no one out of the money. You know, you did it because you offered them something and they paid you for it. So it was an equal trade, right? And always give. He'll always come back to you. Simple.
A little fun one to wrap it up.
Yeah, I love it.
You know, Mark, what kind of watch do you got on your wrist there, bro?
I'm a watch guy. I must say, today I got my Tudor Prince Day-Date. So it's like the Day-Date, but it's a Prince. It's a Tudor version of it.
What brand is it?
Tudor. So Tudor is like, it's in the same family as Rolex, but a little bit different, you know? I love this. It was launched only in the Asian market. It's absolutely beautiful. It's like a gold linen dial, which I really love.
Talking to
fluted bezel.
So what's your watch collection like?
It's crazy. It's crazy. I need to slow down. I really love horology.
Horology.
Yeah.
What's horology? Really love
just, you know, watches in general, the telling time.
I learned something new today.
So, yeah, I didn't know that, yeah. Okay. I was going to be like, horology. Oh, yeah, horology. Agreed. Shake hands.
And I've been doing it since I was a little kid. I mean, I didn't play video games and stuff back in the day, and this is all I do. But I have pieces, you know, $500 pieces all the way up. So it all depends. I don't fall into the hype of, you know, what people respect and think and even know, right? People will notice things from afar, and then sometimes there's unique pieces that no one's ever heard of that I love because I just love it. Love the movements.
Where can people find you?
SorenCustom.com. You can hit me up, mark@SorenCustom.com. Come by. I'm a friendly dude. You can have conversations any day. Come have an espresso with me.
Yeah, guys. I mean, I'm sitting here and I'm dressed in love. The bar.
That's what he's in love.
I'm in love, man. Like, I don't even want to leave this sofa because this is a dream sofa for me.
Yeah.
The That's bar amazing. Setup. That means it works.
Yes. Yo, you
want you to feel comfortable.
Yeah, you said you took 36 flights of stairs to get this couch.
This was special. This was a special couch. We really wanted this, and we had to pick it up from a condo downtown. And what we didn't know is that the lady we got it from was moving because we wanted something that wasn't fresh, brand new. We wanted something with character.
Yeah. It's a very manly couch.
Yeah. So we got it there. And man, she said it had to be gone today. That day, we went up there. We got it outside the apartment, got to the elevators.
Hold on.
The moving elevators were not working. And the other one wouldn't fit it. Trust me, we tried.
Tried.
And she had locked the door. Okay, guys, thank you very much.
She already, got the money.
She already got the money. Peace out.
That's your problem now.
We had to 36 flights, man. It was not easy. All the way down. We had rented a truck and everything to pick it up. It was crazy.
Hold on.
It
was crazy. Well, I'm trying to understand, though. If she was moving, she would have already had to bring it down, though, no?
No. Like, she was gone. That was the last thing in there that she was selling.
And she knew it was being picked up.
Oh, so she finessed you. Damn.
Bro. I mean, I don't know if she knew the elevator was broken, but if you hear the story, you did us wrong, girl.
That's a great couch, man.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to buy it from you one day.
Served us well.
Yeah, it's aging well, too.
Yeah. I actually like the aging aspect of
it. Yeah, me too. It feels very authentic. Yeah, the leather is very rich. Yeah.
You know, I really want to say this. I'm really excited we had this conversation, you know.
Yeah.
It's great to see individuals like yourselves doing great things.
Appreciate that, Mark.
It means a lot. You know, it means a lot. And it's, you know, one day at a time, one step at a time. You know, you get encouraged when you see other people in the same kind of, you know, space where you're headed. And I really appreciate it. You know, the few episodes I've watched means a lot, man. And it's you know, guys,
you're keep up the growth.
Keep up the good work, you know. And I like the fact too that you're not influenced by what's around. You have your own, you know, niche. Mm-hmm. You know, stay true to that. And honestly, I'm really honored that you even want to talk to me.
Right? No, nah, man, stop really, it. Really, look at the man, really $1 million store. You know what I'm saying? Serving the upper echelon of community, opening your doors up to us. You know, we're grateful for that.
Yeah.
You know, It means a lot, and it really shows the ecosystem that we're trying to build. You know what I'm saying? We want to have a ecosystem where we can talk to one another, rely on one another. You know, you need photos done? All right, we have somebody that's going to get your photos done, you know, your videos done. You know, there's a lawyer right here for you. You know, we want to build an ecosystem around you so you feel supported, you know. Oh, we didn't get to talk about the loans, you know. Yeah. Dang. It's okay.
We're heated.
I think we need a part two, honestly.
Part two. I'm ready to make you guys a cocktail.
Listen. There's going to be a part two. You know what I'm saying? We're going to wrap up for now. Thank you so much for watching. I'm Alex.
I'm Ono Sende.
And I'm Mark Breffel.
That is what you can't control. So control your grind and control your life. Peace.
Peace out, everyone. Have a great week.
Peace.
Thank you so much for checking out this episode. Make sure you visit hustleovereverything.co and cop some fire merch that we have in the store. And then we'll see you in the next episode.